This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by Quest Protein Bars. Quest Protein Bars are the only bars that aren't just candy in disguise. 20 grams of protein, only 4 grams of non-fiber carbs, no sugar or sugar alcohols used, no junk food of any kind, and they're delicious. You can check them out and get 2 free bars at questproteinbar.com/FitCast.
Hey guys, it's Kevin here, and I'm just going to give you a quick heads up that we did the show live this week. So, along with that, we had, there's some rough spots. And, I just want to quickly say that there's some great information in there. We had some live call-ins from some of our listeners. And this is just going to be the episode that we kind of use to, iron out all the wrinkles in the live format. So hope you guys still enjoy it. We still have Lou Schuler on, Lee, myself, and John. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Take care. We'll see you next week. And also, I'm sorry about all the clicking. Promise, we won't have the clicking next week.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number, I don't know, but we're doing it live. So we'll just make sure we put that in the show notes. And I did that whole music thing live. Did you guys hear that?
You sounded like you're a reporter, like a rock radio station reporter at like a concert. You were very far off in the background. It was awesome.
Thanks. I was going for that, actually.
Good. Then you succeeded.
We are here this week with myself. I'm Kevin Larrabee. We have Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. And we also got Katie. And I forget your last name, Katie. It's a weird last
name. Namarget.
Yes, yeah, I wouldn't even be able to pronounce that anyway.
Slavic.
It's Slavic?
Slavic.
Slavic, whatever. So we're going to be coming to you guys this week with a live episode, and we are on justintv.com or justin.tv/theFitCast. So I'm going to be asking our chat room to kind of send in or to call in, and we will talk to, oh, we got Lou Schuler calling. Oh crap, we got tons of people calling. All right, the 201 number, you got to hang up so I can talk to Lou. We got to add Lou first because I got to talk to him about something. All right, I'm going to decline that. Lou, if you're listening, call right back. Oh no, I can just add him because, oh my God, he's on Skype. I don't believe this.
I think Kevin's having the mini orgasm.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
It doesn't sound as good through a telephone, I bet, than it does through the head.
Well, you know what, Katie? We can always hang up on
what?
It. And then you can listen to it.
Well, you know what? You suck. We made me call.
All right. Well, I'm going to call Lou. Hold on 1 second, guys, and hopefully then we can add him to the conference. Very exciting. Still ringing. Hey, Lou, what's up?
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm going to pray that this technology works, and I'm going to add you to our conference, but I don't know if it will or not.
Okay, did I do this right? Is this what I'm supposed to do?
You sound great.
Okay, because usually I call you on the phone because I haven't gotten Skype to work on like 3 consecutive computers, so...
Well, I'm going to warn you. We're live right now.
You and I are.
We're broadcasting over the internet live. So you can still talk. It's okay. Lou, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. I thought you cut off there.
Oh no, we are. I'm sorry. We're battling with technology right now, and we're hoping that Lee is still hanging on to the internet somehow. Hold on 1 second, Lou, and I'm going to add you to our conference.
Okay.
All right, Lee. So I'm going to try to add Lou. Oh, my God. I think it, no, it didn't work. Man. Lee, are you still there?
I am now.
All right, I'm hanging up on you. Okay, Lou, so the thing we have to do is we always battle with Skype because it doesn't do exactly what I would want it to do. But now we are calling Lee, and she is on the line. Lee, so Lou is on the line with us.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, Lee, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I can't believe I actually got Skype to work once.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So, I mean, I feel like I'm one of those old people, you know, like 10 years ago. You're like one of those old people who calls up and goes, hello, is this the internet?
But you do it with such class, Lou.
Well, yes, there's that. as my home phone rings in the background to remind us of the old technology, which actually almost never fails unless you actually need it.
Wait, do you have one of those things that's actually connected to a wall?
Yeah, actually, you can't believe this. There's the family line, which is connected to the wall. I have to have an office line connected to the wall because some radio stations won't interview you unless you have a landline. And then my wife and I each have cell phones, and our kids have one that they share. So that's we're paying for 5 phone lines.
Wow.
Yeah, I do feel like a sucker, but you know, it's like you know, it's like once you pay for one, all the rest of them are so cheap that you know, seems more complicated to get rid of one.
Well, those copper wires, I mean, they're, you know, almost 100 years old, but they are, like you said, Lou, they are rock solid. I'm serious. Like, there's still competition to buy the copper that is connected to your house because it's that important for telephone and internet, and for cable companies. So, one thing I want to bring up, Lou, is that we are getting very close to the 2011 Fitness Summit. It's happening.
You know, and it's my, I say this all the time. It's my absolute favorite time of the year. This year, it's the summit itself is Friday and Saturday, May 13 and 14. I think most of us are coming in on Thursday the 12th. Is that when you're coming in? Or are you coming in on Friday?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Let's talk about something else then. Is Lee coming in at all? Have we made a call there?
I still think we need to chat about that.
We do.
But okay. I do plan on coming. I'm very excited. Like we talked about before, we're going to be doing a live studio audience version of the FitCast with all the presenters that are going to be coming to the Fitness Summit. And like you mentioned before, it's in the beautiful city of Kansas City. And it's
And people are going to think that you're being sarcastic. But
no,
Kansas City, especially the part, the downtown part where we have the summit, is actually gorgeous. They have more, I think, like more fountains per square mile than, you know, any city outside of like Barcelona or something. They've got some kind of distinction there. But their downtown area is absolutely beautiful. The weather is almost always terrific in mid-May. I mean, we've had worse luck with back in the days when we used to go to Little Rock. I mean, every now and then, you know, we'd have one where it's just like torrential downpours for the entire weekend or, you know, we plan it too late and it'd be like May 15th instead of May 14th and it would be up to 105 degrees. So hard to go wrong in Kansas City in May.
No, it's like I said, I'm really pumped for it, not only for, you know, the city of Kansas City, but also because there's a ton of great people coming to not only talk and present, but also there's a great community from the JP Fitness Forums that are going to be there too. And we would love for members of the FitCast audience that, you know, might not have been a part of the JP Fitness Forums to come over to Kansas City and you get to see some great presentations, including I get to finally meet in person Alan Aragon.
Oh, you are in for a treat. Alan is the most fun guy to hang out with. I mean, I wish I could say that I'm like the most fun guy to hang out with. That's not true at all. So I'm usually sound asleep by 9 p.m. I mean, seriously, I'm like somebody's grandfather in that way. But it's when I worry sometimes that I oversell how much fun this event is because I'm afraid somebody's going to come out there and they're just going to be sitting on the edge of their chair going, when does the fun start? When does the fun start? And, you know, and most of it is still about presenters getting up there and talking about fitness, nutrition, health, but it's what we do in between. It's the banter. It's, you know, the evenings out. There is alcohol consumption. It tends to be a really relaxed atmosphere. There's no distance between, you know, the presenters and fitness professionals versus, you know, the regular people who are, you know, paying admission and hanging out. A lot of those people are terrific friends of mine. I think I should know this. It's either my eighth or ninth year. Whatever it is, I missed the first one, and then I've been to every one after that. And Kevin, I think you were at the second or third. Do you remember?
It was 2006. So that must
have might have been like the third or fourth.
Yeah.
Who was the speaker? Was that Waterbury?
It was Bill Hartman and Zig. And this is an interesting story because it was Zig Ziglar presented, but it's not the Zig Ziglar that people might be thinking of. It was like some fitness software that he had. And every time I do a lot of reading through Audible, I get a lot of audiobooks, and I'm like, oh, I saw Zig Ziglar on Audible, and it's a marketing guy. It is definitely not the guy that we saw, but no, it's like you're talking about. It was a blast getting to, you know, meet you and to meet Bill and to be kind of blown away by the interaction that goes on between the presenters and the people that show up. And it's packed this year. Nick Tumminello, obviously, like we mentioned, Alan Aragon, Julie Keen is going to be coming.
Julie's not a big name, but she really knows her stuff. She's a physical therapist. So she's going to be talking about, I don't know the exact topic, but if you ever go to the JP Fitness forums, especially the injury and rehab forum, mm-hmm. Julie's in there, really knows her stuff. Terrifically helpful individual, nice person. Like I said, I don't know exactly what her talk's going to be about, but she really knows her stuff when it comes to orthopedics, injury prevention, injury rehab. Terrific person. You mentioned Nick Tumminello, and Nick has an energy level that I think he has the energy level of any three normal in.
Lou, you still there? We may have lost Lou. Well, we lost Lou. And this is the great thing about doing it live is that things like this tends to happen, especially when I put this kind of internet and processing stress on my computer. But we're going to see if we can get him back on the line. Lost you there.
I always say that the best way to get rid of somebody is like when you're in a phone call you don't want to be in is like to hang up when you're talking, because nobody ever thinks you'll hang up when you're talking. But I swear I didn't hang up right there.
All right. I believe you.
Okay.
We completely lost Lee. She is off Skype. She the problem is she lives in like the sticks of North Carolina, so her internet always keeps dropping out. And that's why we talk about the importance of the copper lines. They're rock solid. And she obviously was knocking them, and now she doesn't have internet.
Oh, poor Lee. Poor Lee. And she'll never know until she listens to the recording how we disparaged her for her shortcomings.
Oh, that's no problem. We always do it. And the thing is, I think she jumped off the call because I wanted to pressure her in to guaranteeing an appearance at the summit.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that tonight.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But actually, the cool thing about doing these lives is we tend to, you know, we have the chat room going and, oh, here, this is going to get even better. We can add Jonathan Fass, and he will be a great replacement to Lee Peel. But when it comes to, especially the fitness industry, we've talked about this a lot, but has anything kind of stuck out to you in the last 6 months or a year that have kind of been trends or things that have been changing the fitness industry?
What bothers me is that there is we're getting this kind of regression with research, in that anytime anything comes along that seems exciting, give it like 6 to 12 months, and you'll start seeing these studies going, well, you know, that doesn't really work this way. Like, you know, I write a whole book on core training, and there's not a whole lot of information where you directly connect core training to some benefit. We know that, you know, there's some connection with women and female athletes and knee injuries. The ones with the best core stability will tend to have the fewest injuries. you know, so we can talk about it as this general good, but it's really hard to talk about it in terms of specifics. And there was a big takedown article in one of the NSCA journals maybe 2 months ago, basically said, you know, everybody talks about core training and you can't find a single bit of evidence that there's actually any connection between this and some sort of measurable benefit, either in terms of performance or injury prevention or anything else. So when we talk about it, it seems that everything we talk about now, we have to couch it with all these caveats about, well, research doesn't exactly show this, but we know from practice. And I'm beginning to think more and more, and actually Nick Tumanoa, the guy we were just talking about, has been writing about this on his own blog and on Facebook all weekend, which is all we really know is what works for us. And if you train clients, what works for your clients. It's so hard to connect anything from research and say this definitively proves that if you do this, you will get this benefit. And I don't know if John can hear us, but this is in his territory. So I'd love to have him jump in. Hi, John.
What's going on, bud? Yeah, that actually sounds a little bit familiar. I mean, that's the difficulty with the research. And number one, you've always got an outlier. Always. So no matter what the research definitively says, it still requires experimentation with the individual, because that individual could be the outlier and then it doesn't work on them. And the other issue is that every bit of evidence that you collect is always so specific that before you can make any kind of generalization, like, you know, there'll be a study that'll come out, for instance, and it'll say, you know, moderate volume is best. And you'll say, oh, okay, so maybe I shouldn't do 10 sets of three. Maybe I'll only do 5 sets of three. But the problem is that research was conducted on, you know, college age Division III ice hockey players. In which case, maybe it's true for you, but chances are it's kind of not. And the only way you really know for certain is if you're a Division III college ice skater, hockey player. And even then, if that research hasn't been duplicated, even that's probably – it's more likely that it's inaccurate than it's accurate. So, you know, that's why you get so many of these back and forth things, and maybe this is good for you or maybe this isn't, or we get these ideas, but that's because we're grasping at straws, and then they come around with an analysis and they say, actually, there's really no evidence for this stuff, you know. So I think you're exactly right, and it's difficult to – you know, not only conduct the type of research that we're interested in as clinicians. Did I just get kicked off the call?
No,
Kevin
John,
Larrabee.
We keep losing Lou for some reason. He has recently set up a Skype on his computer.
And, that's pretty funny.
And now he's busy. So I think Lou hung up on us. That's what I'm sticking with.
Oh, yeah. I probably burst his bubble a little bit, and he was a little, you know.
Lou is probably swearing at his computer screen right now. But yeah, Lou is busy, so I don't know if he got kicked off Skype altogether or what happened. But John, I mean, it's really interesting. Yeah, we were actually talking about this a little bit before we recorded today.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we were.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, we were.
And it, you know, it's definitely the problem with the extremes where people want to be incredible, you know, all the way evidence based, and they, you know, there's
right.
One side that wants to be say, oh no, it's just. I do it with my guys and it works, so it's true.
Right.
So even though I don't have the research that backs it up, I don't need to do the research, it works.
Right, and you can't.
Yeah, so it's like you said, you know, I totally agree with you. It's about finding that balance where, you know, you have some research that backs it up, but, you know, when you use it with your athletes and clients who you actually implement that stuff, right. You can say that there is a significant, you know, result.
Right. And see, and this, I think this is the only thing that bugs me about stuff like that. I have no problem with anecdotal evidence because for the most part, that's all we've got. I mean, in many ways, just like Lou pointed out, it's like you get all this research or quote unquote, or all these, you know, experts and all this, whatever, and then nothing comes of it, you know? So you, a lot of times you are relying on this anecdotal experience of, you know, how did, you know, this session go, how is this, you know, athlete or trainee or whatever improving or not? Mm-hmm. And then you use that and then you try to repeat that process with someone else. The there's nothing wrong with that, especially if there's really not a lot of good evidence for whatever it is that you're looking for, like volume or whatever. Having said that, you can't turn around and say, see, my programs work the best. Mm-hmm. That's what I have a problem with. And it's just such a simple concept. You can't claim that what you did was the thing that made the difference, because there are just way too many variables. But what you can say is that I've had some success with clients. This is the way that I do things. So, you know, maybe that's why they're doing well, you know, but without controls, without, you know, blinding and this and that or whatever. There's no way. Maybe all your clients happened to listen to you when you said, hey, by the way, you should get a lot of rest. And maybe that's why they're all losing weight. And it has nothing to do with your program. It has to do with the fact that you actually mentioned that they should sleep more. Or maybe your weightlifting program isn't really that great, but they all happen to be following a great diet that you don't even know about because they all consulted the same nutritionist. I mean, there's just too many variables. And there are too many variables even in well-controlled studies. So to claim that your anecdotal evidence is proof is just – it's nonsense.
Well – okay. Well, what I'm going to kind of finish off here is one of the big things that we wanted to talk to Lou about. Let's see. I'm gonna try one more time to see if we can get him back on. Okay. Please don't call in just yet. Not just yet. Lou, are you there?
Yeah. Yeah.
There he is.
Well, John just...
I'm sorry. I don't think this is happening at my end because I've got... The reason I can tell that my internet connection's working is I've been following a baseball game pitch by pitch, and I'm not missing a single pitch here, so I don't think it's my internet connection.
I blame Kevin.
Blame it on of course, blame me. I'm the one who has like 8 million applications open to make this live show possible. I'm bringing my computer to
see?
Teams.
I think he just gave us our answer, Lou.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. You just got too much going on there, Kevin. Your internet connection can't handle all that.
Well, okay. Yeah, John had a nice speech there. But, you know, what I'd like to, you know, kind of bring up one more time is the Fitness Summit. And if people are interested in coming, the flights to Kansas City are very cheap. The hotel that... it's, you know, everyone's going to be saying it is nice. And again, the great part about Kansas City is that it is very inexpensive, to stay there. You can head to thefitnesssummit.com. And Nick has done a great job, putting together the website. And, he's actually had a couple articles up on Yahoo recently.
Kevin, I'm sorry, Nick is turning into an all-around media mogul. I mean, he has the, he has these live presentations, the annual summit, which he does a terrific job with. Those Yahoo articles are getting incredible attention. I know, I'll say this, and I don't say this to brag, I say this to you know, show how impressed I am with Nick, but we did an article about new rules of lifting for abs. And the book had been doing fine, it got off to a good start and everything. And on, I think it was like February 2nd, this Yahoo article went live. They put it up on their front page, this article Nick had written, and we went all the way to number 2 on Amazon. I've never had a book even, I don't think, crack the top 30 before. So that was, you know, it was just one of those amazing moments that shows the how kind of the way that we make, the way that we influence media has completely changed, and Nick is right on top of that. So he's going to be a real power broker in a couple of years.
Hell yeah. No, it was a great article. And like, you know, it was literally on the front page of my, when I was looking at Yahoo on my iPhone. So it, you know, clearly hit a lot of people. But before we wrap this up, Lou, I want you to give your sales pitch for the Fitness Summit, because I don't know what else I need to do to convince people to go to this, but you know, whether you're just a fitness enthusiast or you're a personal trainer or you're a strength coach, there's tons of reasons to go to the summit, and it's about 40 days from now.
Right.
So it's time to get your butt in a gear if you're going to be going.
Well, here's my pitch. We have never come out with one of those the price changes if you, you know, the it, it's cheaper if you, you know, sign up for the summit and the next, you know, in the next 15 minutes, we're going to change the price. The price is always the same. It's about, I believe it's $199. Mm-hmm. Kansas City, very expensive to get to, especially if you can drive there. You know, I think that you look at how many places are within an 8-hour drive of Kansas City, and it's pretty much half the Midwest. So if you are anywhere within a short drive or within a flight, a cheap flight from, you know, a Chicago, Dallas, all these places will have nonstop Southwest Airlines flights in there. Travel is cheap. Accommodations are cheap. Food is great food city, especially if you like barbecue. That's not expensive. $200 for the summit. If you're a fitness professional, you can get continuing education credits, I believe, from the NSCA and ACE, and they may add NASM. So if you're a fitness professional, this is professional development. You're going to get CEUs for this. If you're a fitness enthusiast, you're going to learn, you're going to come away from this 2-day summit knowing a lot more than you did before you went there. If you are interested in networking, there's going to be a lot of fit.
Oh, sorry, Lou, we lost you there for a second, but you're talking about networking connections.
People that you may have heard of who are coming out just as not even as speakers, but coming out just to participate and enjoy the festivities. And although I fear overselling this, I never have as much fun as I do during those 3 days in Kansas City every year. So it's what I look forward to 12 months out of the year, except for the 3 days when I'm there. And then I'm sorry that it has to end at some point. So there's my sales pitch.
Very cool. Well, like I said, you know, it's pretty much the one seminar that I'm going to be going out of my way to go to this year. Like, it's, you know, it's going to be a blast. It's great presenters, great people. You're going to make a lot of new friends there. And, you know, even if you want to look at it, you know, as a business expense, you're going to make a lot of networking connections, like Lou said, and, you know, you get to hang out with Lou and me, I guess.
Well, and I know you're fun to hang out with. I'm okay. Nick Tumanello is a great guy. Alan Aragon is fun. So, and the whole group, Nick Bromberg and all the regulars, people who've been going there every year, 8-9 years. It's really a terrific group. Even though a lot of the people there already know each other, it's not like most. And Kevin, you know, and probably John too. You go to so many conferences, and the kind of the inner circle people all know each other, and they sit together, and there's kind of like no penetrating that group. There's no group like that. Whoever shows up hangs out with everybody. Everybody knows everybody's name by the end, and you know.
I remember when I was studying with Bill.
I would also hate to undersell it because it really is fun, really is educational, really is worthwhile.
Very cool. Well, there you go, guys. It's again, if you want to check out the website, it is thefitnesssummit.com, all one word. It's from May 13th to May 14th, but like Lou said, a lot of people are going to be coming in the day before. So please check out the website. We hope to have you there, and it's going to be a great time. So Lou, thank you again for hanging out with us for a little bit. And, you know, we hope to talk to you very soon.
Okay. My pleasure. Talk to you soon. Bye. See you, John.
Take care, Lou.
Later, Lou.
All right, so that was Lou Schuler, and what we're going to do right now is we're going to try to get the wonderful, and hopefully you guys
Kev can
hear. I'm going to turn up my thing a little bit. Hey, John.
Word. Hey, Kev.
We're back.
Yeah, I was saying, I remember.
We're live, John, so just don't say anything. Don't bring up any of that stuff you can't talk about.
Right, word. I was just going to say that I remember when I was studying with Bill and we went to the Perform Better seminar, like what Lou was saying, how like we just kind of separate tables. And I remember I was sitting with Mike and who was I sitting with? I was sitting with Robertson and Eric Cressy. And then at another table, it was Bill and it was Alan Cosgrove and it was Dose. And then at a third table, God, I don't remember who it was, but it was like a bunch of other people. And we were just sitting around. We're like, we felt like the kids at Thanksgiving when like we have that separate table. We're not allowed at the adult table.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If you guys want to call in right now, you can call in 978-522-6553 and talk to us. Say what's up. Ask a question. The line is now open.
Wow.
Lee's internet has exploded.
Has it really?
From downloading all that bad stuff. So
porn.
What we're going to do is we're going to kind of pause the recording for a second until we get a caller on the line. And oh, wait, here we go. You ready, John?
Go for it.
All right, hold on. Hello, who are we talking to?
Andrew.
How you doing, Andrew?
Kevin?
Yeah, what's up, Andrew? You're on with Kevin and John.
All right, I'll walk away from my computer.
So we don't hear the echoing. So do you have a question or like a comment or anything?
Yeah, my question is regarding front squats. I just recently started with them because of all of the talk from the previous podcast that I've been listening to. And I put up 225 for my first go at it. I did pretty well. And then a week later, I tried doing push-ups on the floor, and my wrist literally went on fire. And I felt like I stretched or overstretched my a tendon or something in my wrist from like my palm down my forearm. And I'm thinking I may have just not had the proper flexibility in my fingers to handle front squats right now. And I'll work on gaining flexibility by doing lighter front squats for now. But the lighter the weight, I don't feel like I'm doing the amount of work that I need to do in the prescribed sets and reps that I'm programming myself for. So I'm thinking I should do the Poliquin front squat. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, I think it's just a, it's like a cross.
It's the straps on the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can just use straps. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's cheating, and I wanted to hear your opinion on,
well,
you know, how well that works for the front squat technique, or if I should just stick with the lighter front squats and go heavier on my back squat.
To be honest, Andrew, I mean, with that kind of question, the grip on the front squat, when I work with clients or athletes, I just have them hold it whatever way is comfortable. If people have the flexibility in the wrists to hold the bar, that the people would say the proper technique is, that's great. But if they can't, using straps. John, are you eating?
No. Okay. Of course not.
Yeah, I don't want to do that bodybuilding technique because it reduces my stability. Because you crisscross your arms in front of your collar.
John, what's your take?
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I don't find that to be a very comfortable grip either, that bodybuilder grip. I think what I would probably do, I mean, I'm with you, Kev. However someone wants to hold it, if there's not any kind of specific, you know, if someone is learning to catch a clean, obviously they have to have that flexibility. If they're not doing that, then I don't really have a problem with them using straps or whatever they want to do to hold the bar. Having said that, I think what you could probably do, I'd see one of two things. You could either use the straps while you work on that flexibility, and you will have to work on it. I mean, it's you don't typically get that kind of range of motion and position in your hand otherwise, so you'd have to work on that flexibility. So you could use the straps as you go along. Or the other thing that you could do is you could do a single leg front squat. So that'll allow you to have a much lighter bar, maybe even just the bar itself without a loading. You can work on the flexibility and work on your squat form, and you can do it a single leg, and that is a really challenging squat.
You mean literally?
So
like a
that's another option
movement,
for
are you.
You
talking about doing a rear foot elevated?
Yeah, something like you could do a rear foot elevated. Okay. You could do more like a almost like a front box squat. You can do a lot of different things, and it's very challenging.
And that will that'll keep my challenge level up high enough, while my weight level on the bar is low enough that I can handle it.
Exactly,
increase the flexibility, and then build up to the bilateral stance for a standard front squat with the Olympic hold.
Exactly.
Great.
Cool. Andrew, thank you so much for your call.
No problem.
All right. Take care.
Take care, Andrew.
Oh, Lee came online. Did you see that?
I see Lee. I'm gonna add her.
I see Lee too.
To the Magic Conference. Man, Skype hates me today. It is like freaking out. But hey, Lee, what's up?
This is not how you treat your talent.
What?
Oh, what's up, baby?
That you're downloading porn? Oh, we got another call coming in. You ready, Lee? Here we go. Hello, who are we talking to?
Hi, it's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, how you doing? Hold on 1 second. I'm going to add you to the conference here. All right, guys. Let's see if this the magic of... Whoa, what is going on here? Okay. We're gonna... Man. Skype is not... Okay. Here's the
I'm
deal.
Taking it personally.
Okay. Lisa, I would love you to call back. Like I said, Skype is having some malfunctions. What I did is I was trying to
you
add you, but it ended
Lisa
up calling.
What
What's up?
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm going to see if we can get this magic of Skype to work, but we'll see.
We'll see. Make the magic happen.
I'm trying. Oh, what? Okay, see, the problem is that... oh, man. All right. We lost Lee. I hung up on Lisa.
Wow.
Okay, the problem is, and here's the deal. Lee, are you actually on?
Yes, I'm on.
Skype,
now.
See, this is what I see right now. I just see John. Okay, so Lisa, I want to apologize. What we're going to do is, Lisa, I'm going to have you call back, and I'm going to hang up on John and Lee, and then we're just going to add them that way. And if that doesn't work, we're just going to do our
then
best.
Then this whole
Lisa,
experiment is ruined.
Time. I'm sorry.
Ruined, I say.
This is when we do it live, this is what happens.
I'm gonna go
what does that mean to play us out? I don't even know what that means. The best part is for the people that are actually not listening live. All right, hold on.
Oh my God, will you just hang up and have Lisa call?
It won't even let me hang up on you now. I'm not
fine,
kidding.
I'm hanging up.
Oh. Okay. Is anyone on the line with me? No one. All right, Lisa, I swear to God, just call back one more time. Just call back one more time. We're going to make this work. I promise. Man, we got the... okay, here we go. Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
All right.
Let's
Bam.
Try
okay.
again.
Yeah, oh, no, we're going. We got Lee coming into the call right now. Lee, you there?
Yes.
You're talking to Lisa.
Awesome. Lisa.
Hi, Lee. Hi, Lee. I'm glad you're back. I think my question was geared towards you.
Excellent. See, it's important, Kevin, to have people answer the questions on
I'm
the show.
I'm doing my best. All right. I don't think we can add John just yet. So, Lisa, ask your question, then we'll bring John back.
Okay. I'll give you a few facts that should be important to know. I'm 40 years old, and about 2 years ago, I started on a weight loss, fat loss journey, and I was 280 pounds at the time. I'm now 160. My question and issue seems to be that I've been 160 for, it seems like, about 6 months, and I want to know, am I eating at my maintenance, and do I need to lower my calories, or I haven't done any refeeds, and I've been listening to your podcasts recently and learned a little bit about refeeds, but don't know a lot about it and what to do, how to do them smartly. I do train about 5 to 6 hours a week, a mix of cardio and strength training, and I've been eating about 1,700, 1,800 calories a day pretty consistently, pretty cleanly.
Okay. Can I ask you some questions?
Of course.
So how long has it been since you've eaten, say, above 2,000 calories? And if you did so, how consistent were you with doing that?
Well, other than maybe a day or two where I've eaten out and didn't really get a good count of calories because, in restaurants and not knowing exactly what's what, I really haven't probably had a day where I've purposely eaten over 2,000 calories.
Okay. And just
to
remove any like human error, how are you judging your caloric intake? Is it eyeballing it? Is it weighing it? Is it, how do you know what's coming in?
Well, at at the beginning of my journey, I was really pretty consistently weighing and measuring and then tracking. I used like MyFitnessPal.com. Mm-hmm. And when I reached, you know, this 160 pounds or so, I wanted to try to do, you know, eat intuitively type of thing. So I did stop tracking on the computer, but I do tend to eat the same things very, very often. So I do eyeball. So I do see where there's probably some room for error there, but I started tracking about a month ago again on the computer just to kind of see where I was at.
Was there any change when you did that out of curiosity?
Not really. It's coming in at about, it did make me more careful. I, you know, measure, you know, cottage cheese if I have it. I measure it in a half cup, you know, measure now and pretty consistently between 1700 and 1900 a day.
Can I ask what your day is like, average day?
I have a desk job. Okay. Yeah, I have a desk job, so I'm pretty sedentary most of the day. I work out. I go to the gym after work, which ends up, you know, in the evening, 5:30, 6 o'clock. And I do work out for 60 to 90 minutes, about 4 to 6 days a week.
Okay. And has that been roughly the same kind of training over this period of time, or has it changed a lot?
It's changed. I started doing a lot of incline walking as my cardio, and I was taking Body Pump, which I know is not your fave, but my gym doesn't offer that anymore. So I do a lot of group fitness. My strength training is a group fitness class, but we do a lot with a bar, and I do go pretty heavy, especially if, you know, seeing some of the other girls, I'm definitely always lifting the heaviest. And cardio is, I've done a little bit of running, still do a lot of incline walking, and then some kickboxing, other group fitness classes.
Okay. And you have a sedentary job, but do you have a lot of household chores? Is there a lot of moving hobbies that you do? Other than your desk job and your training, is there a lot of activity, or do you mostly come home, get online, sit, watch TV, et cetera? What is your lifestyle like?
Yeah, there's not a lot of movement other than no.
Okay. All right. And are you opposed to eating higher calories for a period of time in case that you need to?
No, I mean, I think back of my mind, I think I kind of know maybe I do need to do that from listening to you guys talk about refeeds, but I want to make sure I do it smartly. And
sure, absolutely. You don't want to gain any excess weight or anything that you don't need. Okay. So to keep this kind of short, so I don't make this call last forever, here's my kind of my very short take on the situation and what a recommendation would be if, say, I was working with a client. I would look into taking a break for the chance of just making sure that you're fed and you're good to go. Fat and fed never have a problem losing weight. Okay, that's just guaranteed. If you're fed and you're good to go, you don't usually have any problem losing fat once you try to decrease intake or increase activity, whatnot. So the first thing that you need to do is probably just to make sure that you're fed. 1700, 1800, it may not be incredibly under your maintenance. 160 desk job, even with the training, you still could be kind of in the 1800 to 2000 area. It could be in that range. If you want to get more of an estimate, you can always get some sort of caloric monitoring device. They're not perfect. Fitbits underestimate a little bit. GoWear's kind of overestimate a little bit. So I always kind of say the Fitbits are good for general estimations that you can have something to kind of go by if you're wanting another figure to count into there. But I would say, I just punched in some really quick calculations, that you're looking somewhere between the 1800 to 2000 range. If you wanted to refeed, you could potentially look at safely doing so in the 2000 or plus range, not probably exceeding above 2200, unless that you're having obviously a busy day or you feel that you've moved a lot more than that. And you could do so for, say, a couple weeks. Then you could get back into fat loss. And looking at your training, I don't think there's anything wrong with the moving that you're doing, but because there's not a lot of activity, because you have a desk job and your lifestyle is kind of sedentary, we exercise for two reasons: for health and general well-being, and then in fat loss to just kind of increase your caloric burn intake. And I think that you need to probably increase your caloric burn intake overall so that you can eat some more calories while you're losing fat. Because at this case, if you really are in the kind of 1800 to 2000 range, it doesn't give you a lot of room for fudging. You'd have to go kind of low in your caloric deficit in order to see any sort of real noticeable results. So you may want to work on switching up your exercising, making it a little bit more randomized, putting more focus on the strength training and having a bit more methodical method in there, and also just kind of keeping things, not to say muscle confusion or guessing, but to make sure that you're not adapting to that since you already don't get that much activity. When someone gets as low activity as you do, you want to make sure that you don't get shot in the foot in any direction that you go. That's the point. The point is to stay ahead of the plateau as much as possible. And plateauing isn't necessarily a bad thing. Something's wrong with your body. It just means that you're getting more conditioned and you're getting better at what you do, and it just doesn't burn as much as it used to. That's the crutch of it. So I would really look at whatever it is you do like to do. And it could be classes, it could be videos, it could be whatever. But just make sure that you're always challenging yourself and you're not getting into a fitness rut. That's the simple answer of it anyway. And I would do that. I would look into testing how much you can drop your calories, maybe cycling. If you're having a hard time going with low calorie days, that way you get a lot of refeeds. But the short answer is I think that overall you're probably going to need to drop your calories lower in order to see fat loss, but I think you should still make sure that you're fed and refed in that kind of a level before you do so. I don't think that your burn is overly intensive, but if you increase your activity, you could get to a higher level of burn to where you can hit the 1,600 calorie mark and see loss, whereas right now I don't think that you'd see that. Does that make sense? Is that too much thrown at you in a short period of time?
Yeah, no. It makes perfect sense. And just one other quick question. When you talked about doing a refeed first and going to 2,000, 2,200 for a couple of weeks, eating that amount every day for a couple of weeks?
Absolutely. What you want to do in a refeed, and again, these are general estimations. I'm not a registered dietitian, so you can always get with one of those for specific numbers. But based upon your activity level, that's kind of what it says to me, that your activity is probably somewhere around. So those are maybe the calories you'd want to look at eating. But yeah, you want to make sure you're rested and refed. A day here or there, could it end up doing it for you? Possibly. But when we look at research as far as metabolic adaptations, how refeeds work, especially with those who have any sort of adaptive thing happen, duration is important. It seems to offset whatever it is that happens in the body that we don't know exactly what it is hormonally that kind of says shut down or puts it on alert. It does well with leptin signal raises. It does well with our digestive system refunctioning again. All these kind of things, it just puts it on that higher level. So like I've said, when you stuff yourself and you really eat well, you usually don't have a problem losing weight after that. It's when we kind of straddle that line for too long that even that small adherence and deficit that you could be having from your activity, you're not going to really see that big of an advantage from it. And that's where the stall kind of comes in, because before your weight size really kind of helped you with the deficit that you needed to create. But now you're so small and you're getting so small that it's your BMR, essentially your size, it just isn't enough to compensate for the activity. It's more than likely what we're seeing. If there is sort of any adaptation and you are wrong about your movement, this will also kind of make sure that you're right, because the 2,000 to 2,200 range will give you enough fudge to make sure that you're not under eating. So it's better to live a little bit on the side of excess, and just a little. You know, obviously somewhere around 2,500 might be silly for someone like you. But anything below that is a safe area to play with to make sure that you're not in any sort of danger, and it's not so high that if you happen to gain just a little bit of weight, it would be mostly water, maybe a small amount that would go into storage, but something that you could deplete in a week easily. So that's kind of what you're looking at, and I think that you would see a lot of benefit from taking that break and then dive it back in, also just mentally. But be warned, if you haven't been eating that consistently, it can give you a little fanginess. Your hunger can kind of kick back in a little bit more, and it can be somewhat hard to pull out of it. So try and eat as much healthily as you can in the refeed, and know that it can be sometimes hard to go back in if you are a little undernourished. It can kind of kick in some signaling. So yeah. Sorry.
Fair enough.
Okay. So yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much. You're welcome.
Absolutely. It does. It does a lot. Thank you for doing this live show. It's fun.
Thanks for calling in, Lisa. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye. Thanks, Lee.
Bye-bye.
Makes doing these shows fun. That was cool, Lee. Thanks.
Sorry for going on there. I just wanted to make sure to get as much
Lee,
as I could in.
Lee is a pro. I'm serious. And yes,
all right, well,
people in the chat, I was playing around with the video. Look at these effects, Lee. I can turn my computer on fire. I think we did
this last
time.
Oh, it's like the Christmas log that never was.
What's that?
It's like the Christmas log that never was.
Exactly. So let's see if we can get the Fascinator back on the call. And we're still going to be taking some more calls. So if you know, if you're a listener and you want to call in and you have a question, I'm still trying to look at the chat. See, the problem is that my chat is frozen on the computer that I'm streaming with. And I can't, like, refresh it, otherwise, then that will stop the stream. So I'm trying to look at my laptop at the same time. So I'm trying to look at both. Hey, John.
Oh, my God, Gene. All right, we getting John back in?
John's back in.
Hey, John.
I am. What the dealio?
That was good, John, huh?
Yeah, it sounded pretty Illmatic.
So
I was sitting around for like 3-4 minutes going, man, what the hell is going on? And then I'm like, wait, are they recording? And I went to the live broadcast. I'm like, holy crap, they're recording. And I'm like, oh no, I've been kicked off the FitCast.
I like to do that sometimes, but it wasn't intentional.
I know you do.
Yeah, it's amazing how loved you feel, right? That's what I went through.
It's pretty okay. much.
So Andrew and Lisa, great questions so far.
And we got a question from DaCosta. If you're looking for another question, that would be good for you or John to answer, I think.
You know what I like? I like it when people call in.
You want, you know, oh, okay.
I want people
Sorry,
to call.
Costa.
Because I don't like to read.
I have a feeling that's
listen to audiobooks,
phone, buddy,
Lee.
So better not be messing with my peeps.
Your peeps? What? Okay, so the number is 978-522-6553. So we're going to be, we'll stick around for like another 5 or 10 minutes. And I'm going to go make some dinner. The asparagus experiment has worked out well, Lee, by the way. Good call.
Oh, yeah? You liked it?
450. Yeah, it didn't taste weird either.
Good. I don't know what I'm doing. And since you're getting so many calls right now, you obviously can't answer his question. And he's in the UK and he can't call.
Okay, hold on. Can you read it? Because I can't look at the chat box and do
it. Yeah, I was
going
to read it because I heard your chat
box.
Well,
Lee, why don't you read it?
See, I'm trying to look out for you and the listeners.
I have an idea. How about you read it?
I'm going to ask the question. So DaCosta wrote, I'm curious. I can't do deadlifts with the heavier weights due to availability. What are some other exercises out there that will give me the same benefits as the deadlift but with lighter weights?
I'm going to take this one, John, since you took the front squat for the most part.
Take it.
That's what she said?
No, maybe.
So one of the good things, or one of the cool things that you can do is a natural glute ham raise. If you have something like a dumbbell rack, basically, and what I'll do is if you're watching the live stream, I'll post a picture of this because it was part of an article that I did for T-Nation a while back called like injecting testosterone into your health club. And basically what you can do is it's really easy to set up. Man, my article is not even featured on here anymore. Can you believe that? That they would do something
denied.
Like that? Oh no. But
wow.
So, really all you need is something like a dumbbell rack, or you can even, use something like a box. And here, if you're in the, if you're watching the video,
Lap pull down too,
or you can use a lap pull down. But the problem with the lap pull down is there's so many. That's a dog. So
and to think people get pissed at that. You know, it's crazy.
So basically, that's the setup. If you have something like a dumbbell rack, you can use like an Eric's pad or a towel, and just you're basically just putting your feet up against the bottom of the dumbbell rack so they're locked in a place. And then you're trying to control yourself as much as possible as you go down towards the ground. And since, you know, the the angle of the glute ham raise that you're doing or the natural glute ham raise, you're going to have to push yourself up off the ground. But your goal should be to lower yourself as much as possible and use as little assistance as possible to get back up. So hopefully that, I mean, that's definitely one way. Obviously, single-legged deadlifts are a great thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
If you have kettlebells available to you, doing things like kettlebell swings are great. You know, even you can easily do barbell SLDLs. I've been playing around with those a little bit, and I found them very effective, like just doing barbell RDLs. John, do you have anything else that you throw in there?
No, I mean, that was going to basically be my recommendation. You can always play with speed. You can always do like a speed dead. You can do deficit deadlifts. So if you increase the range of motion or decrease the amount of time it takes for the rep, both of those will make it more challenging without significantly changing up the exercise. Totally agree with the single leg stuff. I mean, that's a hard exercise, and it's very good.
Yeah,
very good exercise. So you can always take anything and make it single leg. You can do the same thing single arm stuff if you had the limitation in, you know, dumbbells and you wanted to do a bench press or something. You can do stuff like that. So That would basically be my recommendation. I'd probably go for one of those.
And if you are, you know, if you find that the natural glute ham raises are too hard, if you can get access to either a band that you can hang above you or a cable station, and you can have some counter resistance to kind of help you out and get the movement down. But unfortunately, you know, all dumbbell racks being a little bit different, you might have to play around with it. Again, the goal is to really drive the hips through at the top. And, what I'll do is I'll post a link for the, article that kind of walks you through it in the chat, or you can just go to t-nation.com and search for my name in the search box at the top, and you'll see it pop up. But I'll make sure to post that in the show notes as well, so you can kind of get a description on how to do it properly. Cool. All right. Well, someone just tried calling in, but I couldn't pick up. So if you want to call in again, feel free. We'll probably take one more question, and then we'll wrap it up. I'm kind of running out of juice here.
Didn't have a spike, dude?
I had a large black iced coffee, and I'm on about halfway through a liter of green tea.
Good on you.
I have caffeine problems, John.
I know, buddy. Actually, I haven't had coffee in the last like 2-3 days.
Coffee,
yeah.
What, you guys don't have coffee talk over there?
Yeah, you know what? Somehow it doesn't seem to be on satellite. Go figure.
All right, well, guys, we might take one more call at 978-522-6533. We will kind of hang out for another minute or two, and then we will get the hell out of here. Burn this bitch down.
Oh. Emphatically, he says it.
Words like that.
Huh?
Yeah, really.
No, but I didn't mean bitch in a bad way. I meant bitch in a good way.
Female dog.
Keep saying it.
If you look up,
it is a legitimate. It's a legitimate
word. You can look it up in the dictionary,
right? You know, Kevin's like oh, that episode of The Simpsons.
We got a phone call. We got a phone call.
All right.
Hold on. Hello. Who are we talking to?
Hey, Kevin and gang. It's Matthew out in Chicago.
Hey, Matt. How's it going? Hold on. I'm going to add you to the conference here. Hold on 1 second, Matt. All right, the easiest way for me to do this, Matt, is I like to hang up on John and Lee, and like I add them all over again. So let's see if this works. Okay,
you're getting practice. That's the important part.
Matt, you know I try. Lee, you're on with Matt. He's out in Chicago. Came to the Fitcast meetup a while back.
Nice. Hey, Matt.
How's it going?
Good. Are we trying to get John back?
I'm trying. It won't let me add John. Okay, Matt, who's your question directed
towards? Yeah, who's your question mostly? For that way we know to kick off.
Hi, is there a way, I know Lee, you do a ton of work with like food and setting up refeeds and Kevin, I'm sure you do a little bit of nutrition work with your clients, but what about eating certain foods for performance? For example, like if you've got a competition coming up, or if you've got like an important thing, like you're taking a big test for school or something like that.
Oh, this is Matt. Matt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know. I know who you are. I saw your question. Is there a percentage, right? Is there a formula? Not really. We could act as if that there is, and we could throw out some numbers for the sake of sounding fancy. But to a degree, there is a little bit of guess work involved and a little bit of feeling it out. But something you could kind of guide by with performance is key to the event that you're doing. So, for example, if you're doing someone that was competing in something like powerlifting, where they needed to perform big acts of strength over a long period of time that were maximum strength, I would kind of tailor the nutrition a little bit different than, say, for someone that was going through a marathon training session, because the kind of caloric expenditure demand is going to be different. How much carbohydrate usage in the body is going to be different, and things like that. So performance is going to, what the performance is going to definitely affect the kind of nutritional protocol that you would throw out there. But for something along the lines of marathoning or long, more endurance events, you really have to think logically and look at, okay, what is going to be utilized by the body? And ultimately, what's going to be utilized by the body in that case or in that instance is going to be carbohydrates. That's what's going to be the main use of your energy. Now, are there marathon athletes or endurance athletes that utilize ketogenic type diets or low carb diets? Yes. I personally have not yet to see the benefits of that in a large sense. It seems to be more small population based sense that it seems to affect best. Even people that go into the raw kind of carbohydrate area seem to have better results than those that go into a low carb area for it. That's just a little bit of anecdotal base, but from research sense, we would see that carbohydrates would be best. So how do you properly fuel that carbohydrate? A very simple way to look at it would simply be, how many calories do you think that you're going to be expending during each period of time that you're going? If you know that you're going to go for roughly 2 hours or so without stopping, or 3 hours without stopping, you have to take into account your conditioning. You have to take into account your size and your caloric burn. You could do a simple mathematical BMR type equation and try and get how many calories that you would burn per hour based upon a significant amount of activity. Now, I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but let's just throw out some numbers anecdotally, and perhaps I could write an article on this that we could bring up a couple calculators. But let's say, based upon your conditioning and your size, you burn 500 calories per hour doing your marathon training. You're going to know that the majority of this is going to be based through carbohydrate expenditure, and then there's a little bit of fat and a little bit of protein. You could then set up your diet based upon a macro sense that looked at that, and you could literally go somewhere like 60-20-20, or even 60-30-10, 60 being carbohydrates, 10 being fat, 30 being protein, something along those lines, and kind of play with that. You also have to look into how well you can handle digestion during that period of time. There are issues with digestion with endurance athletes and how well they can digest food or digest anything during an event like that. Adrenal systems go into overload, digestive juices and enzymic properties have a little bit of a harder time during endurance events. So that's why we usually do generally turn to fast sugars or things that are really easy to digest, trying to nibble on, you know, a large meal of, you know, sweet potatoes or pasta or anything like that. It doesn't usually go very well. So bars, simple sugars, things like that, shakes, they do seem to kind of work better for people, and by large have proven to continually be good. Can you play with the protein ratios and the carbohydrate ratios and fat ratios? Sure, but I think that that's kind of a base ratio of what we see in the studied nutrition world for performance, somewhere in that kind of realm. Back in the day, we would see them come out with a lot higher carbohydrate intake, or almost downright all carbohydrate intake. And I think that I kind of like the system that goes with a little bit more protein intake and fat intake, Two yes, still standing by a higher carbohydrate intake, but research more and more is coming out and showing that a little bit of protein there is good, even for endurance events, and a little bit of fat in there is good for even for endurance events. The form that you're getting it in is kind of going to be based upon what you can actually handle in a digestive sense. So if you wanted to look at your calories, say 500, want to deal with those macros, that would kind of give you an idea of how to mix your shake. It's kind of a simplistic way of looking at it, but that's certainly a way that you can look at it to try and optimize your training nutrition. Some people could argue that that's void of any sort of nutritional intake, but this isn't necessarily about health. It is about performance. And over the long term, those calories are being transferred in and out. So it's not, there's no deposit. It's not really going to do anything except for protect you during this event. So getting all up in arms about, oh, well, I need these kind of nutrients or I need these types of things, most of it isn't going to even be deposited in the first place, if you will. Most of it is in a complete circulatory method where it's just kind of going in and out. There's not a lot of room for nutrients. And if you mix in simple electrolytes or electrolyte drinks with that for a vitamin intake, you're good to go, and it's easier to digest. But if you can take whole foods during an event like that, then by all means. I just find that it's usually not very logical. So that's my answer. Shakes or some sort of liquid thing, figure out your caloric intake needs, and if you can, add in some electrolyte drinks or things to replenish your sodium and minerals lost during that kind of event. That's 10 times even better.
Cool. Thanks.
So, thanks for calling. Hope that answers the question.
Thanks for calling, Matt. Is there anything else?
Nope. I know you guys are doing your thing, so no, it's awesome. Thank you guys for doing this. This has been an exceptionally cool thing hearing the live feedback.
Yeah. Well, it's great talking to you, Matt.
Oh, Matt, well, I'll see you soon.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Back out to Chicago for Perform Better, so I hope to see you there.
All right, sounds good.
All right, take care, Matt.
Bye.
Bye. All right, let's see if we can add JFast Biceps to the call, and we'll wrap this up. Hey, Lee, Skype crashed on me.
Yeah. All right, now you're there now, okay.
And we'll add John, and then we'll wrap it up. Well, the good thing is that I didn't lose the recording.
Okay, so we're still live?
We're still live!
All right.
Connection lost. Can't connect to John. Oh, we'll try one more time. Oh, no, John's busy. Oh, well. This is how we're going to wrap it up. We're just going to stumble.
He's over it. He's
oh,
like,
wait,
I'm not-
here we go. Hey, John.
There we go.
Okay, now we're all back together again. So, thanks everyone that joined us for episode 210 live.
I am not taking less of my normal paycheck for this episode, even though I was barely on it. I expect my full frickin' paycheck. You're gonna hear from
what's up, bud?
His the non-existent union. Attorneys.
The well, union.
Like oh, the I said, union.
We'll get
Wisconsin on your tail, Kevin.
No unions, I know. I watched the news. So this was kind of our test bed, and I will try to play around with this a little bit. And if we have to use something different than Skype, then we'll try that. But for right now, Skype is kind of the best thing that we have until we can get something better. So
out of curiosity,
wow, that was profound.
Throwing it out. Have you thought of like what is it? Instant teleseminar or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, but that costs money.
Along those lines. No, the one doesn't. There's one that does not because I know people that use it all the time.
Look at these graphics that I got going on.
Oh yeah, I know. I mean, they're the mind reels with how these graphics are.
Wow.
I feel like I should work for like CNN.
QC. All
right, well, let me just wrap this up real quick. You can check out Lee's stuff at LeePeel.com. She's actually using Twitter now at LeePeel. You can check her out on Facebook at /LeePeel. John's on Facebook. I'm on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find me on there. And I hope you guys will join us next week. We'll probably do it live again at the same time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at justin.tv/thefitcast. We hope to have you on, and we're going to be giving away some stuff next week, so join us. Take care.